Hey, Dan, I got to some really cool new club.
Cool, man.
I just joined.
I've been looking to, you know, spend my time that I have allocated, you know, to other things like hobbies. I've been looking to fill it up with something meaningless. So please tell me.
Oh, that's great. Well, I mean, we'll be mostly, you know, helping around in the community, you know, okay. That type of thing. Maybe kidnapping a dignitary or two, holding them hostage.
Okay.
What's wrong?
The dental. I need to know how your dental plan is.
Oh, no, the dental's great.
Oh, okay. So, the dignitary.
So, are you in?
I mean, here's a question. Does the dignitary...
They will remove your teeth for free.
Oh, there you go. I'm sold. Will the dignitary do it, or do we remove his teeth as well?
With permission.
Oh, we gotta get consent before we torture somebody.
Kink play must be established beforehand. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Indie Film Review. This is a place where we review independent films that are sent to us by listeners, by filmmakers, by everyone all around the world. Including this one, which is an Italian film that we got called The Lost Shoes.
The Lost Shoes! As opposed to The Lost Gloves. I mean, The Found Gloves. That would be the opposite.
That's the prequel. That's the squeakquel. Dan, why don't you tell us, what the heck is The Lost Shoes?
Oh, boy. The Lost Shoes is a documentary about a man. I already forgot his name. But he was instrumental.
Alonzo Bowden. No,
Alonzo.
I'm just kidding.
That's what he's.
No, it's Armando Lanza.
Armando Lanza. That's what it is. Anyway, he was somewhat. Yes. I don't want to call him instrumental, but he was an active political constituent in terms of being an active agent for change in communist Italy during the Cold War. So the film is basically about how he acted, or his retellings of, like, what are those things called? Protests. His retellings of protests, the people mm-hmm. that he hung out with, the things that he did, the things that he was reading. And it's kind of like a generic look at it. It's we'll get into why I'm going to say generic soon. But it's a documentary that basically outlines what was happening on the ground in terms of student protests in Italy in the 70s and 80s.
Well, here's what I'll say, because I was reading some reviews just to try to wrap my head around what this film is about, because there's a lot of political stuff in it, and there's a lot of moving cogs, and I was like, okay, because I don't know what's going on in Italy in the 1970s, you know what I mean? So I'm trying to understand their history and all that and everything. And people were saying that this film was unbiased, and I don't think that's true.
No.
I think it's pretty biased.
Yeah.
Pretty pro-communism. I think it's pretty pro that.
Dude,
It's one lane.
Where did you hear that this is unbiased? Do they not see the last 10 minutes
IMDb
of the film
reviews.
Where there's a gigantic group of old communists singing communist tunes together? I don't know.
And, you know, they really paint Armando in a very sympathetic light. But then if you go and just read about, like, what is it, the Red Brigades, the group he was a part of, and some of the terrible stuff they did, you're like, ooh, yeah, they assassinated and, like, murdered a lot of people. Now,
well,
at
like
the time...
The big thing in this, the documentary, is they straight up fucking kidnapped an American general.
Yes, that is the big premise. I think it takes too long to get to that premise.
Oh, much. Go ahead. Much too long, for sure.
I have a lot to say on this movie. It's pretty fascinating. My question to you, Dan, is, did it hold your attention?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay,
no,
where do you think it was losing you?
The way that this film is presented to me, just anything that's historical, like, you have to jazz it up. Like, if you have a story to tell, you know, tell the story, don't tell the history. That's what it is. Like, this was a big historical documentary. It felt like I had just fucking turned on the History Channel and I'm just getting a lot of information about Italy. But what they could have done...
Back in the 1990s, of course, because now History Channel is just like Forged in Fire and like...
Aliens.
Skinwalker Ancient Ranch aliens, shit. Yeah. You're not going to be learning about history anymore on the History Channel.
Well, I'm talking about like the classical, you know, John Grierson documentary history.
I just wanted to roast
History Channel mode. Anyway, what I've seen in other documentaries, and I don't think it's a cop-out to do this, because they did it in the documentary. Like, you remember that time, or towards the end of the documentary, where you have, like, a youthful protest going on that's kind of celebrating all the shit that he stood for? Start with that and work backwards. Like, get me interested in it from a youth perspective, so I have more of a baseline
current situation,
so I have more of a baseline to identify with, and then move into all of the others. Because, like... It was just old people telling stories at certain points. I'm like, oh God, this, and it was not interesting to me. And that's not the fault of the director, because there was so many good parts of it that were competently made and put together. Like, this is, you know, a decent documentary. It just didn't fly with me.
If you're interested in learning about the democratic communist struggle in Italy, throughout, I don't, maybe like 1960 to like 1980 or whatever, then you're going to think this movie is pretty interesting. I mean, I didn't know about any of this. It's a lot. It's a lot to take
in. It's a lot.
Again,
it is a lot.
It feels like a passion project. It really focuses on Armando a lot. He is like the main character. It goes through his entire life, which I thought a lot of it was interesting. To reverse answer the question I asked you, I don't think this movie was that boring. I was pretty engaged throughout it. I just struggled to understand completely what was going on because there was so much information. I had to do research later on to really get, like, okay, who is the Red Brigade? Who is, you know, what is going on with the Workers' Vanguard? What was going on during that time period that they thought they had to do this and everything, blah, blah, blah.
I feel like if I had heard of things like that, I would have been more into, like, okay, so the one case in point that I'm going to be mentioning here that, like, just, it's a documentary that stuck with me, and it did the thing that I had talked to about previously. It's a documentary about the bomb dropping on Hiroshima, and, it's an intense documentary. I do recommend that. But what that starts with is it interviews Japanese kids, like Japanese teenagers in 2016. And it's like, do you remember, like, how do you feel about the bomb on, it's like, what are you talking about? Like, it introduced the issue of the bomb dropping and they were like, I don't even care. So you have that kind of emotion with you because everybody else has heard of it. And it's like, it's such a stain on just history in general. This, on the other hand, it's like, this is one of the many things that were happening in the Cold War in the world during that time period. And I feel like if there was more of a personal connection to Armand, because they attempt it, because they incorporate his daughter asking questions, and then they incorporate her harp and stuff like that. And then at the very end, the idea of lost Jews finally comes into play. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like the whole theme of the film also was very lost on me, because I didn't quite understand why they called it what they called it until the very end. And then even then, I'm like, what did that have to do with the story? Because all I got is we used to take off our shoes, or we used to never wear shoes with playing outside. This is my question. The things that weren't about, you know, the communist things, like, how'd you feel about him? Like, anything that was in Armand's life that was not directly related to his cause. Like, do you think it added to the movie or took away from it?
I thought learning about his upbringing and him talking about, well, I guess this kind of goes to it, but like when he was talking about protesting at his tobacco job and that kind of a thing, and when he goes to visit that place, there's a lot of cool scenes in this movie that did keep me engaged. Now, I will say, I mean, you're going to be seeing a lot of Armando Lanza just staring off into the distance, or, you know, like a lot of, like, there's a lot of B-roll in this movie. There's a lot of stock footage. There's a lot of recordings of interviews that he did, and they're kind of there to fill in the gaps, per se, but did that take away from the
film? Yes, it did. Now, here's the deal. Okay. Like, there was a lot of pensive shots of Armand just looking off in the distance, and there was a lot of, you know, other B-roll, and there was a lot of found footage. If we are using that as filler, do we really need the hour and 45 minute time code? I don't, like, can we start taking things out if we're going to start putting things in? Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me, and we'll say it's just me. It's just me, but it felt like I was watching a boring history documentary that my teacher put on for me about the Italian contribution to the Cold War.
Mm-hmm.
There's interesting stuff in it, but if I'm not in the right headspace, then it's not going to go with me.
Do you think this film stands on its own as something that shows, like, both sides of this story in a subjective way, or does it lean more towards propaganda for one side?
I wouldn't call it propaganda. Okay. It was not overtly...
That's too harsh.
Yeah, it was not overtly, you know, biased in that regard, but it is biased because it's the story of somebody who grew up with this and was part of it and was instrumental in it and did these things. So of course it's going to be biased, but I can't call it propagandistic because it didn't, it wasn't trying to sway me. It wasn't trying to, you know, make me think to be a communist. I don't know. Like, everything, it was interesting to listen to people who have read the shit that I read in grad school in terms of theory and then put that into practice. It's like, I am a practicing communist and this is what I believe in and I'm going to protest about it. So it was interesting to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it left me with. Like, it was just that for me.
So I think what would have helped the movie is the movie, and there's also a book that this is based off of that Armando wrote for his daughter, right? And she is in the film, and he wanted to explain to his daughter his life so she could understand, like, why I had to go to prison, all these other things. I would like to hear her perspective, interview her, and be like, how do you feel about what your dad did? And, you know, like, outside of him just telling you what happened. Like,
that would make it unbiased.
Her understanding of the events. There was maybe one scene where they had interviewed a police officer who was involved in that time with arresting Lanza. I don't know if that was a pre-recorded or the documentarian actually got that interview. But I think it would have been amazing for them to maybe interview a couple of those people. Hey, maybe interview some people who were just around back then who aren't attached to the Red Brigade or whatever at all. Just be like, how did you feel about that time with communism and capitalism butting heads and whatever? So, like, I feel like that would have given a more unbiased approach to it.
We could hear so, basically, all sides. What I'm hearing is they have all the fucking tools to make a killer documentary. They just went the safe route, I guess. Like, that's really what it boils down to. Like, they didn't take any innovative stabs at the genre, which they could have done, you know?
Mm-hmm. We're going to spoil it now. All right. So this movie just kind of, it does feel like more of a passion project for Armando than it is, let's talk about a slice of history and what was going on during that era. Because it really paints him in a positive light. I'd say too positive for a man who kidnapped someone. And he orchestrated and planned to kidnap somebody to stop NATO, which is another, like,
NATO's
what?
A huge organization. You're going to stop NATO by
kidnapping a general? I mean, that sounded silly to me. Didn't sound like they were really thinking it through. It was interesting to see him go from, like, I want to help people and I'm protesting and I'm actually making a difference. Like, he actually improved the working conditions at the tobacco plant
tobacco farm,
by protesting. But then he starts to get more and more radicalized. I found that more interesting, just seeing someone, you know, either you're going left or right with it, how bad your life can get and isolated things can be when you become radicalized, let's say as like a fascist, or you're becoming more like communist, and how extreme that gets.
That's something that I did not pick up on. Maybe because I wasn't just...
That's what I was wanting. I wanted them to go that way.
Right. I'm just thinking that like that probably is true, and it's just I was so marred by, you know, why should I care about, you know, 1970s Italy? Like, I don't know. Like, history documentaries are very tricky to win me over, I guess. I can't say I've seen one.
Well, you have to be interested in the topic, right?
Exactly. Just documentaries in general. It's like, I have to be interested. I have to be whisked away in the first 5 minutes. Otherwise, I'm not going to enjoy it. What was the first 5 minutes of this movie? Mm-hmm.
Maybe if we lived in Italy, current time, and Absolutely. We were watching this, this would be more interesting film yes, for us.
I agree with that 100%.
But yeah, as it stands, we're both American. We're here. We live in a democracy. So this is the thing that he was actively fighting against. And hey, I know... democracy's not perfect.
America is terrible. I'm sorry.
it's like not good, but it could be worse.
Well, no. Here's the deal. Our country's history, I think, is one of the worst in the entire world. But you know, there are other like if you would read anything that like Japan did during their empire to Korean soldiers, it's nasty. So, mm-hmm. you know, just there's monsters throughout history.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate to see your country being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I am a little just beset by is, again, this could have been much more interesting if we took it in a different direction. Like you said, if we, you know, got it from the perspective of the girl. Like, is he the one who is telling the story, or is it directed by somebody else? And like in collaboration with Armand.
He didn't make this film. It was a different director. Hold on. Let me see here. This was done by Tommaso Armani, who wrote and directed this. But there is some voiceover from Armando as well. Let's talk about some things I'd liked visually. There was a moment where they go and visit the tobacco factory or whatever, and Armando is leaning into one of the windows and he's like, hey, is anybody there? Mm-hmm. And it cuts to he is shooting the cameras inside of the facility, and like pigeons are flying around. He's like slowly.
It turns into
a
John Woo movie.
It's a fucking John Woo movie, dude. I loved it. Also, we have to mention Armando looks like Dustin Hoffman's cousin.
Yeah, I was going to say Armando's pretty hot. Hoff. He's pretty hot. No, like just
pretty
everything. Everything that pretty Hoffman. Everything that is B-roll about the film. Anytime that he is looking pensively, like they competently made this film. Like again, it is all it's Armando's story or Armand's story. And I feel like maybe that gets lost in the history. You know what I mean? Like they focus too much mm-hmm. on telling his story and how it affected, or how it affected Italy, or it was supposed to be affecting the Communist Party, I guess, in terms of the conflict between them and NATO.
Oh,
but
you know what? You know what they should have done is have the director interviewing him and asking him questions as the movie went on. Like, do you regret anything that you've done in your life? Or how did you feel during that moment when this happened to you? You know, that would have been really good. Like, way more engaging instead of like us being like a passive viewer. Yes.
Have you seen The Act of Killing?
No, I'm not into torture porn, Dan.
Okay, no. So, The Act of Killing... one of the most creative documentaries I've ever seen in my life. Really, really profound, really disturbing. But it basically, there was a massacre. I forgot what massacre it was, but it takes generals that were in charge of that massacre and asks them to direct uh-huh. a segment of their perspective of that massacre. Yeah, it's fucking crazy. Like, but I'm saying what, like, that is a, you know, that is a documentary that is, you know, breaking the down the, you know, the typical History Channel version of documentaries that, you know, I don't know, those type of documentaries to me have become so static and perfunctory that I have to be really engaged in what is being said. And the most I got engaged was whenever he was talking about, you know, I was reading Lenin, I was reading Marx. It's like, good. Tell me more about your thoughts on, you know, the Communist Manifesto or things like that. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, why did this speak to him so much?
Yeah, exactly. So
why did
I feel
like he had to take it to such an extreme? You know what I mean? So
I guess my major complaint is the film is about Armand, but it just gets lost about being Armand. You know what I mean? Like it starts off with him,
yeah,
but
it services
the information too much. I want to know the personal. I want to, because like they have all the elements. They have his daughter. They have him. Like, tell us more about, you know, your reaction and how you feel, like, retrospectively, like, reflecting on your life.
Yeah.
And I don't think there was enough of that in this film.
Yeah, one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. We have these two different kind of colliding ideas that are meshed together. And, yeah, it would have been interesting to focus on one or the other for sure. Dan, I will say some of the motifs I liked in this with, like, they had, like, the stock footage or the newspaper articles and then a hand would show up and kind of like place pieces
of
paper
that
down.
Was pretty cool.
And then
so yeah, the editing
the
of
paper,
this documentary
that
like,
was really clever. I like that.
Speaking about like the craft of this, like the editing was great. The mise en scène, like just it was composed really well. Just the narrative, it was, you know,
wasn't enough to keep you engaged.
Yeah.
One other thing too, I'll say is the music was spot on. I really like the music in this. It was very somber and weird. I found myself paying attention to the music sometimes when I was getting more lost in like what was going on. I'm like, man, I really don't know. I think another issue is, and this isn't really the fault of the film, it's that this was in Italian, so we had to read subtitles, and there was more parts where I just wanted to listen to what was going on and really focus on detail and everything else when I had to just be constantly reading because there was just so much information. Cause it felt like they just took the book and they're like, okay, we're going to just put all the book here right now. You got to read it. You got to read it. So, it's dense stuff they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was a detriment. If I knew Italian or if I didn't have to read subtitles, I feel like that would have helped me enjoy the film more too.
I feel like my favorite scene in the movie is towards the end when he's with a bunch of people his age and they are just having a feast and they're singing songs of their time period.
Yeah, that was good.
It was just, I wanted more of that because those are all people that he associates with. They all have those, you know, communist ideals and maybe some of them were in protest with him. But like just seeing them, you know, kick back and celebrate the way they celebrate, that was super fun. I loved it.
And I have to praise the audio that they got from that scene. Mm-hmm. Armando's talking and everyone else is talking around him and his audio sounds perfect. There are a ton of scenes where they are filming two or three people outside on the street.
Yeah.
And their audio is perfect. I'm like, wow. Like that audio mix is wonderful in this movie. I'm impressed that they were able to like get all this to sound good. And they even had like, you know, like the subtle like car drive by, like you hear it, but it is not oppressive in any way. So I thought that not oppressive, but impressive. All right.
That's
what
I say about
thoughts.
That's what I say about communism. It's not oppressive. It's impressive.
I mean, overall, it was okay. It's not something I really wanted to learn about too much, and I think that's the real thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I was more interested in the topic, I probably would have enjoyed this movie more. But yeah, that's it. Dan, why don't you do some plugs?
Yes, you can find us on Instagram at Indie Film Review Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Indie Film Pod. You can email us at theindiefilmreview@gmail.com. You can also check out our brand new Patreon page. It would be patreon.com/indiefilmreview. And you can donate $1, you can donate $3, or you can be a filmmaker and donate $5 and get your film put on a priority list.
VIP only. You get Bobby bottle service if you do that too. God. So just bottles brought to your table constantly. I mean, you will be charged full price for those bottles, but you have the privilege of getting the bottles.
Yes.
And Dan will give you a lap dance.
Yes.
So thank you everybody for listening. Please check out the Necropodicon Network. That is the network that we are associated with. If you go to necropodicon.com, you can check out all of our bios and all the different cool podcasts that are on there. See if any of those interest you. They're all really great. I listen to all of them. And I'm supporting some of them on Patreon too. So go out and support it. Support things that you like, okay, guys? You should do that. I'm not saying to even support our show. I'm just like, if you like a thing and it's they're on their own and they're just making creative stuff, you should give them money. Support local business. Support creators that you like. All right. But yeah, go check that out. There's a link to the Discord where you can click on it and you can come hang out with us. We're always having a good time over there, you know, chatting about goofy stuff.
I
keep posting flowers. Yeah, we're growing and showing. I keep posting flowers from my front yard because I'm a bit of a green thumb. Anyways, I don't know, Dan. I don't know what I'm doing. So thank you. I love you all. I appreciate you. Dan, you're the final word.
I'm a brown thumb.
Is that because you put your thumb up your ass, you little pervert?
I was letting people make their own conclusions, but that was the one I wanted them to come to.
Oh, gross.
Empires, demons, apples, mice, gnomes, barbarians, saxophones, dice. Fate of Ison is a Dungeons & Dragons podcast from New Zealand. The players are comedians, and the Dungeon Master is very, very patient. Check out fateofison.com to discover fan art, cast profiles, and a whole new world of adventure.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.